Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Talk about a bizarre morning. The presidential election continues. And just during the break there, we have some new information. Now, again, what I'm about to say to you is what it is, and take it for what it is. It is not a done deal, and we're going to get to our guest, and I can't wait to get to our guest. But here's the deal right now. In the presidential election, where we sit electoral vote-wise, right now Joe Biden has 224, President Trump has 213. 9 states are still too close to call. Now, if you look at those 9 states right now, and it's just right now, Arizona, Nevada, Maine, and Wisconsin are all leading toward Joe Biden. Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Alaska are all leaning toward President Trump. If that stays the way it stays, that would give Joe Biden 255 electoral votes. It would give Donald Trump 269. 270 is what you got to have. Why would neither be at 270? Because of the state of Michigan. 16 electoral votes. It would give Donald Trump 285. He's the winner. It would give Joe Biden right over the top, 271. He would be the winner. We started the morning. Donald Trump was ahead in Michigan. During the last 10 minutes, Joe Biden has now taken the lead in Michigan. Holy mackerel. And on 2 hours sleep, that's about the best I can do at this point. Turning to a man I am so glad to talk to this morning to get his thoughts on everything that happened last night. Because things we know, President Trump overperformed. What's wrong with these polls? Holy mackerel. The election of the pandemic. A man who has been on the scene for a long time, White House correspondent, co-anchor of Primetime Live for so many years, host of This Week, the Sunday morning show. Nobody knows politics like this man, and this morning, hopefully, he can help sort this whole mess out. We turn to Sam Donaldson, my pal. Sam, how are you?
Well, I'm the biggest mackerel of all. I mean, what do you mean a man who knows about politics? Did I not confidently tell you a few days ago that Joe Biden, I said, I think 90%,
90%
be elected, and by a good, healthy margin. Did I not say that?
You certainly
did. Well, let me begin, Scott, by saying, as Richard Nixon's White House press secretary, remember Ron Ziegler, famously announced in 1973, when he was questioned again about Watergate, he began by saying, this is the operative statement. The others are inoperative. So all of that stuff I told you, all of it's inoperative. My operative statement is, I was wrong. And that's the end of it.
Well, Sam, the big question is, yesterday, before the polls closed, 10% lead for Biden in the polls, the biggest since Bill Clinton over Bob Dole in 1996. What happened when the votes finally started to be counted?
Well, what we discovered, or I think I've discovered, was something fundamental. And, yes, I paid attention to the polls, and I based a lot of my confidence on what I thought the polls were telling me. But I can't really lay it off, because many of the polls said that the swing states were within the margin of error. Although the national poll of 9 to 10 points would seem to have overridden that. But I think what happened was the following. I also was basing this on a different set of values. It would go something like this. Yes, I understand why people in 2016 voted for Donald J. Trump. They thought he was a successful businessman, wealthy, worth many billion dollars, and that he had the ability to get them back their job in the steel industry, to get their son continuing to have a job digging coal from the mines and all of that. And they didn't realize that he was basically a con man. He is. All right, so I thought, well, they didn't know him then. They knew him as the television star from The Apprentice. That's what they knew. and you're fired. He was a very engaging personality. But after 4 years of watching him, of seeing how he acted, how he talked, all of those things, I thought a great number of people who may have voted for him in 2016 for the reasons I gave you would have a switch. Well, no. I found out by looking at what we have so far, and the analysis of the exit polls are going to take some time, and more than just the analysis of the exit polls, what is the fundamental shift in the way people feel about Donald Trump? Because it wasn't a Republican sweep, although Republicans picked up, not just to the presidency, maybe, and all the votes are counted, we don't know yet, but maybe, it looks like the Senate may stay Republican. That's not quite set yet, but that's the way it goes. It was a sweep for the Donald J. Trump company personality. This man has engaged the company, or rather the country, in so many ways, and so many more people, the old Scott. You're going to elect a president, sir. If you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you're going to vote for that person, or me. A lot of people use tests like character, competency, decency, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I was wrong if I think that's going to carry Joe Biden on the shoulders of competency, decency, character, and all of that to the presidency without any problem. I was absolutely wrong. And why I was wrong, it was my fault. Not people out there. I just simply didn't know how to read it.
Well, Sam, we also had this conversation on Friday when we spoke, when you gave us that prediction, and certainly it does turn out to be wrong now. But we also had the conversation, is Joe Biden important to this election? And the answer was no. It's people who like Donald Trump versus people who hate Donald Trump. So does like Trump hate when you're not really sure of your candidate, which apparently is something that might have happened last night?
Well, yes, and there are some reasons that fall within the old form of how you look at politics. Let's take Miami-Dade County. Now, Hillary Clinton won that county. It's a blue county in Florida. She won it with 63.2% of the vote. Yet she still lost the state. But Joe Biden won it with 53.3% of the vote. What happened? Well, we believe that a lot of Latinos didn't like Biden, but did vote for Hillary Clinton. It was something about Biden's policy, him himself, or, as you put it rather, and I think you're right, something about Trump that appealed to them. Because people who voted for Trump, I don't call all of them names, and I don't call any of them names, really. I don't think they're bad people, but whatever it is about Trump that doesn't fit my idea of character and competency and decency, that they find that they get from him, that they want from him. That overrides their ability to be a good neighbor, to give you the shirt off their back if you need it, not good people. And they would want competency. If they were going to hire me to be a store manager, and they would want me not to cheat the customers and all that. But something that Trump brings them, and that, too, is, I know that we'll have social scientists looking at the returns from yesterday and adding to what we know about Donald Trump's appeal to find out what it is. Is it, let's get all those illegal people out of the country? Let's close down our borders and build a wall? I don't know. Is it a few Nazis? Most of Trump's supporters are not Nazis. I mean, I think, frankly, to put it in the right verbiage, the Nazis would support Trump, but not because he's one, necessarily, but because of what they think they get from him. Feeling about race, for instance. Feeling about crime, for instance. I'm not sure. But what is clear to me is I came into this election thinking the majority of the people of the country who are going to vote were going to use a different set of tests than so many didn't.
Now, Sam, has the problem been, can we safely say now after 4 years of President Trump and an overperformance last night, no matter what happens, win or lose at this point for President Trump, he certainly overperformed from what we all thought. So can we say at this point, maybe this is the problem. We look at the people who vote for President Trump, and I think a great many Democrats say,
It's the awful people, the deplorables, as Hillary Clinton called them. Is it a combination? Because we certainly would know that the Proud Boys and people of that nature are certainly not voting Democrat. Not to say it's, who knows why they're voting for President Trump, but that group he inspires. But look at the regular Republicans, Bob Dole and Lindsey Graham. They support Trump, too. They're not going Democrat. Is it a combination of the two that gives him such power that other Republicans have not had in recent years?
Well, some of the old Republicans, and particularly Bob Dole, my friend Bob Dole, he's actually older than I am, but some of the old Republicans may be voting for the Republican. They believe in the party. They still think that the standards that I grew up in and with the Republican Party, fiscal responsibility. I mean, go on down the line, stand on your own 2 feet. You give people a chance to get to the starting line, but then it's up to them. Let them show initiative. They may still believe that's the Republican Party, but I've got to tell you, it is the party of Trump. Maybe they could reconstitute the Republican Party, or younger people can. Let me give you an example of what happened last night and puzzle over it. Donald Trump comes out. He falsely claims that he's won the election, even though he still says votes are being counted, and he's unhappy that until all the votes are counted in Arizona, how dare Fox, of all institutions, call him losing there. He's unhappy. He wants the votes counted there. He said, no, not the votes, though, counted in Pennsylvania and Michigan, and guess why? And he makes it quite clear. And he says he thinks that's a fraud of the American people, an embarrassment of the country, if all those votes are counted. And he says, I'm going to the Supreme Court and get the court to stop the count of votes. Now, just think of all of that. Think of the outrageousness, at least to me, and I think many Americans, and maybe even to some or more of Trump's voters this time, for a president of the United States to make that kind of autocratic, dictatorial, I'm in charge and we'll do it my way, the hell with the Constitution or the law or what have you. I'm just angry and I'm going to, you know. All right, here's my question. Are you shocked? Yes, I heard my friend Jake Capper say on CNN, I'm shocked. No. I was not surprised when I heard that. That is Donald J. Trump that I know. That is the Donald J. Trump that people like me would vote against. But it's the Donald J. Trump, because, again, all of his followers are not ignorant. All of his followers are not dumb. They hear that. And they must have some sense of how that doesn't comport with the American dream. They don't care, because he gives them something that they think overrides what their normal tests of decency and competence and character would require.
Just a side note on President Trump's speech last night, which happened about 2:30 in the morning Eastern time, which I was up watching last night. I was watching.
I was too.
Oh, man. I was watching it on the network, NBC, their coverage. And when he started, I'd never seen this. When he started to speak, Savannah Guthrie, the co-host of the Today Show, they broke in over his speech to point out that what he was saying was wrong. I had never quite seen that. They usually wait till the end.
Well, I think she was wrong. I didn't see her. I was not watching NBC or NBC, but I think she was wrong. She was not wrong to point out that what he was saying was wrong, but not let him say it, and then come back and say, that's completely not true. He has not won. He may win, but he has not won till all the votes are counted, and I can assure you, the courts will not stop the fair counting that the states have put in place in their individual states to count the vote. Now, that's what she should have said, in my view. You don't let him say it.
Well,
he has a right to speak.
Sam, and it's hard to do this, but at this point, we have to wash all the campaigning, the conventions, the debates, all away and realize where we are this morning. I went through it at the top of the program. 224-213 Joe Biden's favor right now. The way the popular vote looks, which controls the Electoral College in these nine states, four are safely in each person's column. That would not give either one of them an Electoral College win. It comes down to Michigan. At 8:15 Eastern time this morning, Michigan is in Trump's column. At 9:15, it's in Biden's column. What do you make of where we are now?
Well, what we make of it is what we all thought. Now, this, I think, I knew that the huge number of mail-in votes, people who legally cast a ballot through the mail or dropping it off in mailbox and not coming as we used to on election day and voting in person, were clearly tilted toward the Democrats. Now, how do I know that? They haven't been opened. In some states they were counting already, but of course I wasn't privy to that. And in some states they weren't allowed to even open the envelopes until Election Day. Well, we know that because as they began to open the envelopes, they began to see in these various states that the percentages were disproportionately in Biden's favor. And it was certainly logical to assume that all these envelopes that came in roughly from the same situation and at roughly the same time period, it wasn't going to switch in the middle of like Michigan switched, as you say, in an hour from the standpoint of the counting of the votes. So it was safe to assume that when all the votes are counted, it's quite possible, in fact, probable now in the case of Wisconsin, and if the new situation in Michigan holds, that Biden would win both those states. And he doesn't need Pennsylvania, under the model that you suggested. Because the model that you suggested says, okay, Biden picks up Arizona and keeps Nevada. He loses the other states. He loses North Carolina. He loses Georgia. That's outstanding. And Biden has Maine, and Biden has one of the two electoral votes that come from districts in two different states. And that model puts him where you say he is, or where Biden could be. Pardon me, it's not, the votes aren't counted yet. About 270, or maybe even 271, and he wins the presidency. But of course, he would have to win it in the sense of countering Trump's onslaught of legal, and who knows, the fear is still there of encouraging even violence from some of his supporters before Biden actually can look to an Electoral College vote that puts him at an inauguration day on the 20th of January. Certainly, it's still possible. That does not excuse my being wrong in what I said to you earlier.
Well, and I think we have the time this morning to talk more about that, but I want to ask this question, and heaven knows we don't want to be in the prediction business right now. But when we look at this, Georgia, typically Republican. North Carolina, typically Republican. Alaska, we'll say that, Republican. Pennsylvania has tended to work well for Donald Trump as of late. So those are the four for him right now. Arizona, something has happened there. It definitely is leaning Democrat, even more than some of these other states at this point. Nevada, Democrat. Wisconsin, Michigan used to be Democrat, might be Democrat again right now, according to the popular vote. Maine, Democratish. So are there any of these nine states at this particular point that are going to have a big switch because of mail-in votes from what they normally are?
Well, again, I think once those votes, the mail-in votes, the absentee ballot votes, are counted and fairly counted, we'll know about who wins the presidency. But let's take Arizona. Now, I said a moment ago that more people are seeing in Trump something they want from him that they don't think they're getting from Biden or wouldn't get from Biden. Let's talk about the pandemic. The country is divided. Half the country, or maybe not half the country, but a significant portion says, let's get open again. Let's get the economy. That was Trump's message. Let's get the economy moving again. And the other half says, yeah, but let's save the lives first, maybe mine, and get hold of the pandemic, which we haven't done, which he hasn't done. So if you look at the exit polls and people are asked, they tell you how they voted, and maybe a few lie, but not really. We've learned over, this may change too, but we've learned over many election cycles, I used to do this, that people don't lie. They tell you, and you ask, well, why did you vote for so-and-so? And they tell you, and then say, well, if you give me another 2 minutes, could I list a number of the priorities? Was it because of this, because of that? Well, I think we're seeing that more people than I thought don't care about the masks, don't care about science, and I hate to say it, maybe think saving lives is not as important as saving the economy. And after all, if you've got a 401k investment, you want walls. I understand. I've actually talked to people before the election yesterday who said, oh, Trump, my God, but let me tell you something. My 401k is up so much percentage. I'm doing so well. I want to continue that. And I don't want to be taxed anymore. Biden's going to tax me. Yeah, right. Well, I don't make over $400,000, but I don't really trust that. And so their priority becomes not a guy that they acknowledge to me is, I'm not going to call names, but not the kind of person you'd want as your next door neighbor. You'd want to date your daughter. You'd want, you know. But he gives them something they do want, and that's their priority. So when it comes to Arizona, yes, it's fair to begin by saying it looks like that state is realigning. Thanks to Maricopa County and Tucson, it's traditional recent time. Barry Goldwater, hey, where was he from? Arizona. View of the situation. But we don't know yet. We don't know yet. I think it's too early to say, hey, so the blue wall has collapsed to some extent, but Arizona slipped, and it's going to be a Democrat from now on. I don't know.
You know, Sam, earlier on we talked about this idea that this became an election about do you like Trump or do you hate Trump? Something I found interesting yesterday that I didn't think would be a repercussion of that, but I think now has, is that if you look back at 2016, people wanted Hillary Clinton to win. People liked her or you hated her. Same thing with Trump in 2016. It turned out better for Trump. I know a lot of people yesterday who voted for Hillary, who ended up for Trump. These are the independent voters who identify as independents because they weren't enthusiastic for Biden. He became, like I said, it could have been Daffy Duck as the Democrat. If you didn't hate Trump and you voted for Hillary, you might have voted for Trump yesterday. Is there any count to that?
I think there's truth to that. I like your premise initially, so I want to continue to adopt the idea, as it is when most presidents run for re-election, but even more so with Trump, that a vote was offered against Trump, not for Biden. And you say, well, why not for Biden? Well, Biden, and I mean this not as a slam, sort of as a compliment, Biden is a good, gray, dependable, honest, in my view, guy. Made some mistakes, as all legislators do when they cast votes and have to make a decision over the years. But basically, as far as the Democratic Party is concerned, is just to the left of center, not farther left. Remember, he said Bernie's plan is wrong, you know, all of that. But there is nothing about Biden that engages you like there is about Trump that engages you, and you may be engaged in fury. As we know, as you just said, as I say, you don't like this man. Or, really, for the reasons that, again, I suggest I don't understand fully, he gives you something that you want, that you don't think Joe Biden will give you. And one of it may just be excitement. One of them may just be, I still remember the guy you're fired. Yeah, he's uncouth. I mean, last night he says things that don't make it, he goes to the Supreme Court, you have to shut down the vote. They didn't decide the 2000 election, which is the only time in modern times the Supreme Court has ever gotten involved. They shut down the ability of Florida, which was wandering around until the 12th of December, trying to figure out how to look at a hanging chad and count the vote. We can't do this. This election has to end. And the Supreme Court ended it by saying, that's it, and then saying, this is no precedent. It's the first time in modern times that the Supreme Court in any major case has said, publicly at least, that this is not a precedent. Do not use this for the future to know what this particular Supreme Court thinks and how it will act. Or how, in setting a precedent that future Supreme Courts may take into consideration.
When we look at this on the big picture right now, you know, Florida was kind of always up in the air. Ohio was certainly always up in the air. Those are our battleground states. But when we look at this right now, what in the world went on in Pennsylvania is going on in Pennsylvania. Now, as we know it right now, Trump is leading in Pennsylvania 54% to 43%. Now, they're going to start counting the votes again this morning at 10 o'clock, we've just learned, in Pennsylvania, the mail-in ballots. But that's with 78% of the vote in. Why are the polls in Pennsylvania completely off, and what's going on in that former Democratic state?
Well, I think we have some information. First of all, I want to say that we've been told that there were, as of at least a few hours ago, and Pennsylvania is still counting, 1.4 million ballots that had been mailed in that had yet to be counted. Now, if you look at that 700,000 vote margin that Trump has, and someone else did the math for me, but I assume it's fairly close, Biden would have to win 75% of the outstanding votes to come even, and then surpass Donald Trump's 700,000 vote margin. Is it possible? Yes, because most of these votes are Democratic votes for Biden. But not, I don't know, and we don't know yet whether 75% is doable. That's why most models that you used and I use, that people have constructed, looking at the outstanding states, say that, yes, if Biden holds Nevada, has Maine, has flips Arizona, and wins Michigan and Wisconsin, and those one of those two electoral votes from the outlier states, he wins. He doesn't have to have Pennsylvania. Now, if Biden gets 75% of the votes that are outstanding and more in Pennsylvania, which is a really tough task, that's a really high bar, then he doesn't, he wins comfortably. But no one is counting on that. And now the question you asked me was, what is Pennsylvania? I think ever since Carville, Jim Carville, who's, you know, Clinton's man in 1992 and still famously said that Pennsylvania consists on one side of Philadelphia, on the other side of Pittsburgh, and in between is Alabama. Rural Pennsylvania is as toughly, not just conservative, but, Barry Goldwater might be considered a moderate compared to the voters in rural Pennsylvania. And if Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and the counties around Philadelphia don't come up with larger numbers, as they did for Barack Obama, didn't for Hillary Clinton, and the preliminary, we don't know again about the mail-in votes, but as far as the votes that have been cast, that have been counted from early voting or from walk-in voting or from, you know, the election day yesterday, those counties, Philadelphia has not performed. Yes, Biden is winning the Philadelphia suburbs, but not by the margin he needed. My famous citation is a statistic that is accurate, that Obama got, in both of his elections, 200,000 more votes in the Philadelphia suburbs than did his opponents, John McCain and Mitt Romney. She, Hillary Clinton, didn't get those votes. They didn't vote for Trump in 2016. They just stayed home. Hey, my guy isn't on the ballot, or Trump's going to lose anyway. I don't have to go. So we all thought, and all of the indications were, they'd come back this time, and they would vote with a vengeance for Joe Biden. But for whatever reasons, I think they did better than they did for Hillary Clinton, but they didn't do, percentage-wise, as good as they had to for Biden. And coming back to what you asked me and what I'm still puzzling over is Biden himself. You know, after 2016, a lot of people say that's Hillary's fault. I mean, she's not popular, and she wasn't. We came to the 2016 election with both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both underwater when it came to who's more popular. We came to this election nationally, with Biden double-digit plus more popular than Trump. It didn't help him. It didn't help him. Well, it may have helped him. Here I am acting as if he's lost. He still has a pretty good path, depending on Michigan and Wisconsin, to eke out the 270 electoral votes. And then, of course, he has to defend it against Trump's onslaught, and perhaps, unfortunately, the onslaught of some of Trump's supporters. But I think that could be done.
Well, Sam, and that's the question. We had it going in last night. Thank goodness nothing has happened yet, because we still have 9 undecided states, and Trump still could be declared the winner here. But is this the nightmare scenario that Walmart was looking about, talking about by pulling their ammunition, that we have all talked about, that if Biden wins, if everything we've said happens the way it will, should, maybe could happen, whatever term you want to use there, it will be 271 to 269 Joe Biden, next president, and we had to wait till the next day to get these mail-in ballots. Is there trouble on the horizon? We don't want it, but boy, does that set the stage for that?
It could be, because many of Trump's loyal followers who don't know anything else other than what he says from the standpoint of checking his accuracy of his statements, knowing something more about the world, looking into whether there's actually global warming or not, whatever he says, they want to do. And they heard him last night. And he said last night, I'm not going to let him steal this election from me. He pronounced himself the winner, said I'm already the winner, and I assure you they're not going to steal this election from me. He wants the Supreme Court to cut down, to stop the ballot counting, not ballot, it was casting, that's done. And some states in the mail, when it gets there, will still be counted, as long as it's a valid ballot from a valid person. But they listen to that. And so if it comes to Joe Biden, in a fair count in all the states, has won 270 or 271 electoral votes, I think it's highly probable, as long, certainly, as Trump continues to say, I'm being cheated, this is a blot on the country, this is a fraud, they will take measures, and there will be some violence. But I continue to believe, even though I confess at the beginning of your program how wrong I was about what is happening in the election, I continue to believe that most law enforcement agencies, local police, state police, the National Guard, which Trump can call out if he declares there's an insurrection in the country, will follow the law and follow the right, meaning doing what is right. And I know the U.S. military will. So in the end of the day, and we hope, both hope, as you said, there's no violence, but there will be some, but it'll be minor, we hope. The violence will not prevent a Biden fairly elected from taking office.
I want to go way back here, Sam, for a second, and talk about 2016. In the early stages of the 2016 election, the thought was by many, many people, Hillary is a flawed candidate. What we really needed was Joe Biden, good old Joe. And then when Hillary lost, we said, boy, if we would have just had good old Joe, we would have won here. Now, we got good old Joe in 2020, and had there not been a pandemic, what would this day look like?
Well, what would this day look like? Well, if there had not been a pandemic, I think Donald J. Trump, I would not have forecasted he was going to lose. I think if the economy had stayed strong, the argument, which is correct, that he built on the Biden recovery, and it is correct, the statistic of Biden himself uses, that in the last 3 years of his presidency, he created more jobs, more new jobs, than in the first 3 years of Trump's presidency. I mean, the argument is correct, but it wouldn't cut any ice. Hey, I'm doing okay, Jack. I'm fine. And these are the things that are important to me. My Wall Street account, my 401k account, all of that. That's what I care about. And Trump, I think Trump's producing it. So we're just going to keep on voting for him. That's what would have happened. I think he probably would have been reelected despite the Democrats' view and, you know, my use of the words character, competency, decency, and all of that.
Was there any Democrat? We've talked about Joe Biden, nobody really getting inspired by him. Was there any Democrat out of all those Democrats, more than any in a presidential primary in the history of primaries, was there any Democrat that could have inspired people to vote for them?
Well, Bernie Sanders inspired a lot of people, both in 2016 and again early this year. He had a good army. But the thought was, and I subscribe to that thought, that he was too far to the left. And whether his view of what could be done on health care, single payer system, all of that, forgive the, you know, the students of loans, all of that is correct, and the American public would eventually come to this, it wasn't ready yet. I think that Trump's campaign rhetoric himself and his ads saying socialism, socialism, I mean, Trump complains that Biden is saying COVID, 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 COVID. Well, he was saying socialist, socialist, socialist was effective in many places, including Florida. So I was of the view that Bernie wouldn't have been the strongest candidate. Now, as you know, because you've been good enough to invite me on your program now for some time, early this year, I was concerned that Biden was, who I like, was not going to be able to compete against Donald J. Trump. He had lost Iowa. He had lost New Hampshire in the Democratic primary by huge margins. He was fifth. He was losing in Nevada. But the hand of Clyburn, taking the place of the hand of God, resurrected him in South Carolina. But before that happened, I looked around for someone else, and I actually did something I'd never done before, and I'm never going to do again, as far as I can see. I went to work as an unpaid volunteer for Mike Bloomberg, former mayor of New York. I clearly didn't know him as well as I thought I did. I didn't know about his vulnerabilities, and they proved to be debilitating, to make an understatement. But I was looking for someone that I thought could take on Donald J. Trump, right in the nose, right in the snout, and had the resources to do it. Well, I was wrong about that. So obviously I came back in the camp, but like so many people, it seemed to me then that Bernie was too far and that the senator from Massachusetts was too far to the left. The party's moving in that direction, or has been at least, the Democratic Party, but not yet. And Biden was then doing well, having been resurrected, having the African-American vote solidified behind him, not just in South Carolina, where they resurrected him, but in Super Tuesday and on. And he's a nice guy, and there's nothing, no scandal, this fake scandal about his son, Hunter, and all the money he made. They can't say illegally, but they say terrible and all of that. I thought it was not going to hurt him, and I don't think if Biden loses because he didn't get enough votes, it was because most people believe it. Trump's people believe it, but what Trump's people believe, meaning his supporters, often is not factual. It's not the truth. Not because they want to be liars, but because they listen to Trump and others who are liars, and they take it for gospel.
When we look at the map, Arizona has been the big story because that has not been a Democratic state for quite a while. But we also don't know the outcome of Georgia or North Carolina. Now, what is going on in those states that make it so close?
Well, in Georgia, the same thing that Stacey Abrams almost pulled off, 2 years ago, when she ran for the governorship. Georgia is realigning thanks to the rising vote of minorities, particularly the African-American minority in this country. And in Georgia, they are huge. I'll never forget what happened to my old friend, and I'm saying that sarcastically with quotation marks, George C. Wallace. From in the early 60s, standing in the schoolhouse door, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever, before he stood back and, of course, had to admit federal marshals to admit black children. And then, in his last campaign for governor, he courted the African-American vote because they now had sufficient power as voters to deny him the re-election. And he did then not only did he court them, he kept his promise. He did many things for African Americans that had nothing to do with standing in the schoolhouse door. So what's happening in Georgia is roughly the same thing. We're coming from the days of old Gene Talmadge. You may be too young to remember old Gene, or people like them in the South, people like him, who was the governor in the South. Today's where Atlanta, the suburbs of Atlanta, many blue areas of the state are being filled with people who are newcomers to the state, and the children of old people in the state who've changed their view of segregation and the place of African Americans in our society. That's what's happening in Georgia.
When we look at this, Sam, in your opinion at this point, with these nine states and people showing back up to count mail-in ballots today, when do you think we're going to know something?
Well, the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania has forecast that it probably will be days, and not talking about today, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe even Friday, before they can count all of the votes. Now, as you and I have just discussed, Biden can win the presidency without Pennsylvania. The other two states, that, even though right now they appear to be leaning toward Biden, of Michigan and Wisconsin, are counting the votes much quicker, but still it'll take them a little while. Now, when it comes to Georgia, they're still counting the votes. The last time I saw, and you may have updated information, there was about 91% of the vote in. However, where the vote was not in larger percentages of not being in, was in the blue areas, was in Atlanta, in the Atlanta suburbs. And the last time I saw, and I remember the figure roughly, was Trump was ahead in Georgia by 118,000 votes. And if those areas come in the same percentages as they have been for Biden, and they have still in one of them, it's only 72% the last time I looked reporting, it's conceivable that Biden could win Georgia. But when we come to these models that you expressed, 271 or mine 270, he doesn't need Georgia. And frankly, he still would have to win at least one of the states, Michigan or Wisconsin.
I want to say this because for everything you just said, this is a question that I think we have this morning. Now, if Biden would hold on to the four that he's leading popular vote-wise now, which would determine the electoral vote, we're talking about Arizona, we're talking about Nevada, we're talking about Wisconsin, we're talking about Maine. Okay. And he is leading in Michigan. Okay, that would put him over the top. But conceivably, because of what you just said, and conceivably what they're saying in Pennsylvania, they're Biden people in Pennsylvania without question, if Pennsylvania and Georgia would end up going Biden, which they could, it wouldn't be a blowout, but it certainly would be a pretty good margin of a win for Biden.
I'd create a blowout, and I'd say, wait a minute, did I take back? No, you're quite right, it wouldn't be a blowout. Yes, if the stars aligned now for Biden in the states that you just mentioned, he would go over 300. He'd do quite well in modern times. Trump got, 303 or 306? I don't have it figured in front of me. In 2016, he would be there, at least 296. But I think it's, could he be this? Let's say luck. I don't know that luck applies here. But so fortunate that everything that you just said would give him Georgia. And you forget North Carolina. I think that's all but gone, but I think the networks have not yet called it. And the reason they have not yet called it, out of prudence, that their experts who are looking at this say it is still possible that Biden could win, so they haven't done it.
You know, Sam, heavens knows. I hate to ask for a prediction again here with nine states.
Hey, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
With what we know now, 41 states we know at this particular point, nine left to go, and we know a lot of this has to do with mail-in ballots, which they tell us are favoring Biden, and I think we would have to understand that that's probably true at this point, because Wisconsin and Michigan have really taken a turn overnight. Is this more in Biden's favor now? Certainly not 90%. But they're both nervous. Who's resting a little easier?
See, now, I have to give you a prediction, but I have to label. I have to have so many caveats on it. That is, if the percentage in these mail-in ballots continues to favor Biden in the same percentage that it has so far in those that have been counted, for instance, yes, Biden will squeak out 270 or 271. But I think at this point, I'm not going to bet the ranch on it. I'll buy you a beer sometime if I lose. That's about the extent of it. This election and what's happening in the country, and I don't want to repeat myself, so it won't be lengthy. You've heard it. And in the way people look at how they want to vote for someone, what are the tests they use when they want to vote for a president of the United States? There's been realignment on that, and mainly because of the personality of Donald J. Trump. He has seized the Republican Party, and he has seized the minds of people who ordinarily probably would use those minds in more sensible, realistic ways. I mean, he's the Pied Piper of Hamelin, although it's not children that are following him. It's adults and it's voters.
And the final question is along those lines, Sam. When we look at this right now, because of what has happened with Donald Trump overperforming by all accounts last night, can there ever be a Republican again in the Mitt Romney vein, in the Ronald Reagan vein? Do you have to be in the Trump vein to perform well in these states where you need to?
That's an excellent question. I can't answer it. I'm just reminded of when the woman, remember, asked Benjamin Franklin, conclusion of the Continental Congress when the Constitution was written, what kind of government do we have? And he replied, you have a republic if you can keep it. And I'm thinking, did Franklin look into the future with a foreboding? Because if this election was an anomaly because of this man, Donald J. Trump, but ordinary men and ordinary women, and by ordinary I mean good and sensible and smart women and smart men with good and decent feelings about the country and its place in the world and the people in the country, they exist. Can they retake the Republican Party? Well, they're going to have to purge a lot of people. Well, Mitch McConnell won again. And Mitch McConnell cost Obama his rightful nominee to the Supreme Court on the theory that if we can just wait, and it paid off for old Mitch. But I don't think that's the country yet. I'm not yet prepared to believe that most Americans have given up the standards of fair play, decency, truth, and honesty that has made this country a shining city on the hill, as Reagan says, the envy of the world, the opportunity. I don't think most Americans have given it up, but there I am again, maybe falling in the same trap I fell into in this election.
Sam, it's fascinating, and we're going to see how this all shakes out. Thank you so much for joining us on this very interesting morning.
And now I'm going back to sleep. I'll see you, Scott.
Thank you, Sam. Bye-bye.
The legendary Sam Donaldson. We'll be back in a minute.
Auntie, the table is set with a door and a hat. I'll fish up with a latch.